Before they entered the room where the queen waited, Kaylin stopped and put Sidon into Zed's arms. With her hands, she smoothed his hair, then her dress, and with a deep breath, her face.
"Just keep in mind what we are here for, Mother Confessor," the wizard said.
She gave him a nod, put her chin up, and strode into the room with the queen. Queen Melaena waited where they had left her, her entourage still with her. The queen's eyes caught on Sidon.
"I trust you have found everything in order, Mother Confessor."
Kaylin's face stayed calm, but her voice had a cold edge to it.
"Why is this child in your dungeon?"
The queen's hands spread wide.
"Well, I'm not sure. I believe, I remember he was found stealing, and was put there until his parents could be found. That's all, I can assure you. It was nothing more than that."
Kaylin regarded her coolly.
"I have found all the prisoners innocent and ordered them released. I trust you are pleased to find I have saved you from executing innocent men, and will see to it that their families are compensated for the trouble this error has caused. If an error such as this is repeated, the next time I return I will not only empty the prison, I will also empty the throne."
Richard knew he wasn't seeing Kaylin putting on a show to get the box. He was seeing her doing her job. This was why the wizards created the Confessors. This was who she was, the Mother Confessor. The queen's eyes opened wide.
"Why, yes, of course. I have some overly ambitious army commanders, and they must have done this. I had no knowledge of it. Thank you for saving us from making a grave mistake. I will personally see to it that it is taken care of just as you wish, which, of course, is no less than I would have done myself had I..."
Kaylin cut her off. "We will be leaving now." The queen's face brightened.
"Leaving? Oh, what a shame. We were all so looking forward to the honor of your presence at dinner. I'm so sorry you must go.
I have other pressing business. Before I go, I wish to speak with my wizard."
"Your wizard?"
"Killer," she hissed. For the briefest of moments, the queen's eyes flickered toward the ceiling.
"Well, that would not be possible."
Kaylin leaned closer to her.
"Make it possible, right now."
The color drained from the queen's face.
"Please, believe me, Mother Confessor, you wouldn't want to see Gilla in his present condition."
"Right now," Kaylin repeated. Richard loosened the sword in its scabbard just enough to catch her attention.
"Very well. He is upstairs.
You will wait here until I am finished with him." The queen looked at the floor.
"Of course, Mother Confessor."
She turned to one of the men in the pantaloons.
"Show her the way."
The man led them up the grand stairway to the top floor and down several halls, then up a spiral stone stairway to the top room in a tower, finally stopping with a weak look at a heavy wooden door on the landing. Kaylin dismissed him. He bowed, glad to leave. Richard opened the door. They entered, and he closed it behind them. Kaylin gasped and hid her face against Richard's shoulder. Zed pressed Sidon's face to his robes. The room was destroyed, completely. The roof was gone as if it had been blasted away, letting in the sunlight and sky. Only a few of the exposed beams remained. A rope hung from one of the beams. Giller's naked body swung slightly as it hung upside down from the end of the rope, a meat hook driven through the bone of his ankle. Were it not for the open roof, the stench would have driven them from the room. Zed handed Sidon to Kaylin, and, ignoring the body, began walking slowly around the circular room, a thoughtful frown on his face. He stopped and touched splinters of furniture that had been driven into the walls, as if the stone were made of butter. Richard stood, transfixed, staring at Giller's body.
"Richard, come look at this," Zed called to him.
The wizard reached out and ran a finger through a gritty black area on the wall. There were two black areas, in fact. They stood next to each other, two blackened spots in the shapes of men standing at attention, as if the men had gone and left their shadows behind. Just above each elbow, instead of the black, was a band of gold-colored metal melted into the stone of the wall. Zed turned, raising an eyebrow to him.
"Wizard's fire."
Richard was incredulous.
"You mean these were men?"
Zed nodded.
"Burn them right into the wall."
He tasted the black smudge on the end of his finger. He smiled to himself.
"But this was more than just wizard's fire."
Richard frowned. Zed pointed at the black on the wall.
"Taste it."
"Why?" Zed rapped Richard's head with his knuckles.
"To learn something."
With a grimace, Richard ran his finger through the black grit as Zed had done.
"It tastes sweet."
Zed smiled in satisfaction.
"This is more than simple wizard's fire. Giller gave his life energy to it. He gave his life into the fire. This was a wizard's life fire."
"He died making this wizard's fire?"
"Yes. And it tastes sweet. That means he gave his life to save another. If he had done it only for himself, for instance, to spare himself the torture, it would taste bitter. Giller has done this for another."
Zed went and stood in front of Giller's body, swishing the flies away, twisting his own head around, trying to turn it upside down for a look. With a finger, he pushed a knotted cord of gut out of the way so he could see Giller's face. He straightened.
"He has left a message."
"A message?" Kaelin asked. "What message?"
"There is a smile on his face. A smile, frozen in death, meant to tell anyone who knows of such things that he did not give up what was wanted."
Richard stepped closer as Zed pointed to the opening cut across the abdomen.
"See here, the way this cut goes? This is done by one who practices the magic called anthropomancy, the divining of answers by the inspection of living entrails. Doc Enroll makes his cut very similar to the way his father did."
Richard remembered his own father and how Rawl had done this very thing to him.
"You are sure it was Doc Enroll?" Kaelin asked.
Zed shrugged.
"Who else? Doc Enroll is the only one who would have been unharmed by a wizard's life fire. Besides, this cut is his signature. Look here. See the end of the opening. See the way it starts to turn."
Kaelin turned her face away.
"What of it?"
"That's the hook. At least, it should be. It should turn back in a hooked cut. While incantations are spoken, the hook is cut, binding the questioned to the questioner. The hook forces them to give up the answer to the question asked. But see here? The hook is begun, but it is not finished."
Zed gave a sad grin.
"That is when Giller gave his life to the fire. He waited until Rawl was almost done, then, at the last instant, denied him what he sought. Probably the name of who has the box. Without life in them, his entrails could tell Rawl nothing."
"I never thought Giller capable of such a selfless act,"
Kaelin whispered. "Zed," Richard asked fearfully, "how could Giller have done it, taken the pain of having this done to him, and managed to leave a smile on his face?" Zed gave him a hard look that ran a chill up Richard's spine.
"Wizards must know about pain. They must know it very well indeed. It is to spare you that lesson that I would happily accept your choice not to be a wizard. It is a lesson few survive."
Richard swallowed hard at the glazed look of a memory passing across Zed's eyes. Tenderly, Zed cupped a hand to the side of Giller's face.
"You have done well, my student. Honor in the end."
"I bet Darkin Rawl was livid," Richard said. "Zed, I think we had better get out of here. This looks a little too much like bait on a hook to me." Zed nodded.
"Whatever the box is, it is not here. At least Rawl does not have it. Yet."
He put his hands out.
"Give me the boy. We need to leave as we came in. We don't want to tell them why we were really here."
Zed whispered something in Sidon's ear, and the boy giggled, hugging the wizard's neck. Queen Milena was still white, fumbling with the corner of her cape as Caelan strode purposefully but calmly up to her.
"Thank you for your hospitality," Caelan said. "We will be leaving now."
The queen bowed her head.
"Always a pleasure to see the Mother Confessor."
Her curiosity overcame her fear.
"What of Gilla?"
Caelan appraised her coolly.
"I regret you have beaten me to him. I only wish I had had the pleasure of doing it myself, or at least witnessed it being done. But the results are all that matter. Disagreement, was it?"
The color returned to the queen's face.
"He stole something that belonged to me."
"I see. Well, I hope you got it back. Good day."
She started to move, then stopped.
"And Queen Milena, I will be back to check and make sure you have brought your overly ambitious commanders back in line and that they are not mistakenly executing innocent people."
Richard and Zed, holding Sidon, fell in behind Caelan as she turned and left. Richard's thoughts swirled desperately through his head as he walked woodenly next to Zed, following Caelan through all the bowing people and out of the city.
What were they going to do now?
Shota had warned him that the queen wouldn't have the box for long. She had been right. Where could it be now? He certainly couldn't go back and ask Shota where it was. Who could Giller have given the box to? How were they going to find it? He felt desperately depressed. He felt like giving up. He could tell by the slump in Kaelin's shoulders that she felt the same way. Neither of them spoke. The only one talking was Sidon, and Richard couldn't understand him.
"What's he saying?" he asked Zed.
"He says he has been being brave, just as Caelan had told him, but he is glad that Richard with the temper has come to take him home."
"I guess I know how he feels.
Zed, what are we going to do now?" Zed gave him a puzzled look.
"How should I know? You're the Seeker."
Great. He had just done his best, and they still didn't have the box, but he was expected somehow to find it. He felt as if he had run square into a wall he hadn't known was there. They kept walking, but he didn't know where to go next. The setting sun was golden among golden clouds. Richard thought he could see something ahead in the distance. He moved up and walked next to Caelan. She was watching it too. All the people had disappeared from the road for the night. It wasn't long before he knew what it was. It was four horses galloping toward them. Only one had a rider. Chapter 40. Richard touched the hilt of the sword for reassurance as he watched the four horses raising a cloud of dust that turned golden in the setting sun. Soon the sound of thundering hooves reached him. The lone rider bent over his mount, urging him on. Richard lifted the sword a little in its scabbard, checking that it was clear, then let it drop back. As the darkly clad rider approached, Richard realized he looked familiar.
"Chase!"
The boundary warden brought the horses to a skidding halt in front of them. He looked down as the dust drifted away.
You all look to be well?
Chase, is it ever good to see you? Richard grinned. How did you find us?
He looked insulted.
I'm a boundary warden.
He thought that was explanation enough.
Find what you were after?
No,
Richard admitted with a sigh. He saw little arms clutching at Chase's sides. A little face peeked around the black cloak.
Rachel, is that you?
Her face came farther out, a grin spreading on it.
Richard, I'm so happy to see you again. Isn't Chase wonderful? He fought a gar and saved me from being eaten.
Didn't fight him, Chase grumbled. Just put a bolt through his head, that's all.
But you would have. You're the bravest man I ever saw.
With a pained frown, Chase rolled his eyes.
Isn't she just about the ugliest child you have ever seen?
He leaned around and looked at her.
I can't believe a guy would even want to eat you.
Rachel giggled and hugged her arms to his sides.
Look, Richard.
She put a foot out toward him, showing off a shoe.
Chase brought down a buck. He said it was a mistake because it was too big, so he traded it to a man, but all the man had to trade were these shoes and this cloak. Aren't they wonderful? And Chase says I can keep them.
Richard grinned at her.
Yes,
that is indeed wonderful.
He noticed Rachel's doll and the bundle with the bread nestled between her and Chase. He also noticed her eyes going to Sidon, as if she had seen him before. Kaelin put a hand on Rachel's leg.
Why did you run off? You scared us with worry for you.
Rachel flinched at Kaelin's touch. She hugged one arm to Chase and thrust a hand in her pocket. She didn't answer Kaelin's question, but looked instead toward Sidon.
Why do you have him?
Kaelin rescued him, Richard said. The queen had him locked up in the dungeon. That's no place for a child, so she took him out. Rachel looked down at Kaelin.
Wasn't the queen mad?
I don't allow anyone to hurt children, Kaelin said. Not even a queen.
Well, don't just stand there staring. I brought you all horses. Mount up. I figured I'd catch you today. I have a wild boar roasting back at the place you stayed last night, just this side of the Calisidron.
With one hand on the saddle and the other arm holding Sidon, Zed leapt to a horse.
Wild boar? What kind of fool are you? Leaving a wild boar roasting unprotected? Anyone could just come along and take it.
Why do you think I want you to hurry? The place is filthy with wolf tracks, though I doubt they'd come near a fire.
Don't you dare hurt that wolf, Zed warned. He's a friend of the Mother Confessor.
Chase cast an eye to Kaelin, then to Richard, before turning his horse and leading them into the setting sun. Richard was heartened by having Chase back. It made him feel, once again, that anything was possible. After she had mounted, Kaelin took Sidon, the two of them talking and laughing as they rode. At the camp, Zed wasted no time before checking the roasting boar and pronounced it fit to eat. He shifted his robes and sat down, waiting with a grin on his wrinkled face for someone with a knife to carve dinner. Sidon, with a grin frozen on his face too, leaned against Kaelin after she sat down. Richard and Chase started carving up the boar. Rachel sat close to Chase's side, watching him, keeping an eye to Kaelin, her doll in her lap, and the loaf of bread wrapped in the cloth at her hip. Richard cut a big piece and handed it to Zed.
So, what happened with my brother, I mean?
Chase grinned.
When I told him the things you told me to tell him, he said that if you were in trouble, he was going to help. He pulled together the army, and we sent most of them into defensive positions along the boundary, with the wardens commanding them. After the boundary came down, he refused to wait behind. He led 1,000 of his best men into the Midlands. They're all bivouacked up in the Rang Shadar right now, waiting to help you.
Richard had stopped carving, frozen in astonishment.
Really? My brother said that? He came to help and with an army?
Chase nodded.
He said if you're in this, then he is too.
Richard felt a pang of regret that he had doubted Michael, and elation that his brother would drop everything to come help. He wasn't angry?
I thought sure he would be, and give me grief over this, but he only wanted to know about you, what risk you were at, and where you were. He said he knew you, and if you thought it was this important, then he did too. He offered to come along, but I wouldn't let him. He's with his men, probably waiting in his tent right now, pacing back and forth. I have to tell you, it surprised me, too.
Richard's eyes were wide in wonder. My brother and 1,000 of his men in the Midlands come to help me. He looked at Kaylin. Isn't that wonderful? She only smiled at him. Chase gave him a stern look while he carved.
For a while, I thought you were finished when I saw your trail going into Agaden Reach.
Richard looked up. You went into the Reach?
Do I look stupid? You don't become head of the Boundary Wardens by being stupid. I started thinking of how I was going to tell Michael you were dead. Then I found your trail coming out of the Reach.
His brow wrinkled together.
How did you manage to come out of the Reach alive?
Richard gave him a grin. I think the good spirits. Rachel screamed. Richard and Chase spun with their knives. Before Chase could use his knife, Richard stopped him. It was Brophy.
Rachel? Is that you, Rachel?
She took her doll's foot from her mouth. Her eyes were wide.
You sound like Brophy.
The wolf's tail swished back and forth.
That's because I am Brophy.
He trotted over to her.
Brophy, how come you're a wolf?
He sat on his haunches in front of her.
Because a kind wizard changed me into a wolf. That was what I wanted to be, and he changed me.
Giller changed you into a wolf? The breath caught in Richard's throat.
That's right. It's a wonderful new life I have.
She threw her arms around the wolf's neck. Brophy licked her face as she giggled.
Rachel,
Richard said, you know Giller? Rachel hugged an arm around Brophy's neck.
Giller's a nice man. He gave me Sarah.
She gave a fearful look to Kaylin.
You want to hurt him. You're the queen's friend. You're mean.
She pushed against Brophy for protection. Brophy gave her face a long lick.
You're wrong, Rachel. Kaylin is my friend. She is one of the nicest people in the world.
Kaylin smiled and held her hands out to Rachel.
Come here.
Rachel looked to Brophy, who gave her a nod that it was all right. She went with a pout on her face. Kaylin took Rachel's hands in hers.
You heard me say something mean about Giller, didn't you?
Rachel nodded.
Rachel, the queen is a bad person. I didn't know how bad until today. Giller used to be my friend. When he went to live with the queen, I thought it was because he was bad too and was on her side. I was wrong. I would never hurt Giller now that I know he is still my friend.
Rachel turned her eyes up to Richard.
She's telling you the truth. We're on the same side as Giller.
Rachel turned to Brophy. He nodded, too, that it was the truth.
You and Richard aren't friends of the Queen?
Kaylin laughed a little.
No. If I have my way, she will not be the Queen much longer. And as for Richard, well, he drew his sword and threatened to kill the Princess. I don't think that makes him friends with the Queen.
Rachel's eyes got big.
Princess Violet? You did that to Princess Violet?
Richard nodded to her. She said some bad things to Kaylin, and I told her that if she did it again, I'd cut off her tongue.
Rachel's mouth dropped open. And she didn't say to chop off your head?
We are not going to let them chop off any more heads, Kaylin said. Rachel's eyes filled with tears as she looked to Kaylin.
I thought you were mean and that you would hurt Giller. I'm so happy you're not mean.
She put her arms around Kaylin's neck, hugging her tight. Kaylin hugged her back just as tight. Chase leaned toward Richard.
You pulled a sword on a princess? Do you know that's a capital offense?
Richard gave him a cool look. If I had had the time, I would have put her over my knee and spanked her, too. Rachel giggled at that. Richard smiled at her. You know the princess, don't you? The laughter left her. I'm her playmate. I lived in a nice place with other children, but after my brother died, the queen came and picked me out to be the princess's playmate. Richard turned to Brophy. He was the one? The wolf nodded solemnly. So you lived with the princess. She's the one who cut your hair all crooked, isn't she? She hits you. Rachel nodded with a pout.
She's mean to people. She's starting to say to chop off people's heads. I was afraid she would chop off my head, too, so I ran away.
Richard eyed the loaf of bread she kept at her hip. He squatted down next to her.
Giller helped you run away, didn't he?
She was near tears.
Giller gave me Sarah. He wanted to run away with me, but then a mean man came, Father Rawl. He looked real mad at Giller. Giller told me to run and to hide until winter, then to find a new family to live with.
A tear ran down her cheek.
Sarah told me he couldn't come with me anymore.
Richard glanced again at the loaf of bread. It was about the right size. He put his hands on her shoulders.
Rachel,
Zed and Kaylin and Chase and I are fighting against Darken Rahl so that he won't be able to hurt people anymore. She turned her head back to Chase. Chase nodded.
He's telling you the truth, child. You tell him the truth, too.
He tightened his grip on her shoulders.
Rachel, did Giller give you that loaf of bread?
She nodded.
Rachel, we were going to Giller to get a box to help us stop Darken Rahl from hurting people. Will you give it to us? Will you help us stop Rahl?
Her watery eyes looked at him. Then, with a brave smile, she picked up the bread and handed it to him.
It's in the loaf of bread. Giller hid it in there with magic.
Richard threw his arms around her, nearly hugging the breath out of her. He stood, hugging her to him, and spun in circles until she giggled.
Rachel, you are the bravest, smartest, prettiest girl I have ever known.
When he set her down, she ran to Chase and crawled into his lap. He mussed her hair and put his big arms around her as she smiled and hugged him. Richard picked up the loaf of bread in both hands. He held it out to Kaylin. She smiled and shook her head. He held it to Zed.
The Seeker found it, Zed smiled. The Seeker should open it.
Richard broke the bread open, and there inside was the jeweled box of Ordin. He wiped his hands on his pants, pulled the box out, and held it up to the firelight. He knew from the Book of Counted Shadows that the glittering box they saw was only a covering for the real box underneath. He even knew from the book how to remove the cover. He put the box in Kaylin's lap. As she picked it up, she gave him the biggest smile he had ever seen. Before he even knew what he had done, he had leaned over and given Kaylin a quick kiss. Her eyes went wide, and she didn't kiss him back, but the feel of her lips shocked him into realizing what he had done.
Oh, sorry, he said.
She laughed.
Forgiven.
Richard hugged Zed as they both laughed. Chase laughed, watching him. Richard could hardly believe that just a short time ago he had almost given up, had no idea what to do next, where to go, or how to stop Rahl. And now they had the box. He set it on a rock where they could all see it in the firelight while they had the best dinner Richard could ever remember. Richard and Kaylin told Chase some of what they had been through. To Richard's delight, Chase was disturbed to learn that he owed his life to Bill back at South Haven. Chase told them some of his own stories of bringing an army of 1,000 men across the Rang Shaddaa. He enjoyed telling drawn-out tales of the foolishness of bureaucracy in the field. Rachel cuddled in Chase's lap while she ate and he talked. Richard thought it was interesting that she chose the most fearsome among them for comfort. When at last he finished his story, she looked up and asked,
"Chase, where should I go to hide until winter?"
He regarded her with a glower.
"You're too ugly to be left to wander about. A gar would eat you, sure."
That made her laugh.
"I have other children. They're all ugly, too. You'll fit right in. I guess I'll take you to live in my house."
"Really, Chase?" Richard asked.
"I've come home enough times and had my wife present me with a new child. I think it's about time I turned affairs about on her."
He looked down at Rachel, who clung to him as if he might float away.
"But I have rules, you know. You have to follow my rules."
"I'll do anything you say, Chase."
"Well, there you go. That's the first rule. I don't allow any of my children to call me Chase. If you want to be a member of my family, you have to call me Father. And about your hair, it's too short. My children all have long hair, and I like it that way. You'll have to let your hair grow out some. And you'll have a mother. You'll have to mind her. And you'll have to play with your new brothers and sisters. Do you think you can do all that?"
She nodded against him, unable to talk as she hugged him, tears glistening in her eyes. They all excitedly ate their fill. Even Zed seemed to have had enough. Richard felt exhausted and at the same time full of energy to finally have the box in their hands. They had done the hard part. They had found the box before Rahl. Now they had only to keep it from him until winter.
"We have been weeks in this quest," Kaelin said. "The first day of winter is a month away. Earlier today, that seemed scarcely enough time to get the box. Now that we have it, it seems forever. What shall we do until it is finished?"
Chase spoke up first.
"We have all of us to protect the box, and we have 1,000 men to protect us. When we get back across the border, we will have many times that."
She looked at Zed.
"Do you think that's wise? We would be easy to find, 1,000 men, I mean. Would it not be better to hide somewhere, by ourselves?"
Zed leaned back and rubbed his full stomach.
"We could hide better by ourselves, but we would also be more vulnerable if discovered. Perhaps Chase is correct. There would be a lot of protection among a force that large, and if we had to, we could still leave them and go to cover."
"We'd better get an early start," Richard said. It was barely light when they were off. The horses to the road, Brophy to woods, shadowing them, or at times scouting ahead. Chase, bristling with weapons, led them at a trot, Rachel holding him tight. Kaelin, back in her forest garb and with Sidon sitting at her lap, rode next to Zed. Richard had insisted that Zed carry the box. It was wrapped in the cloth that held the bread before and tied to the horn of his saddle. Richard followed behind, watching everything as they rode quickly into the cold morning air. Now that they had the box, he felt suddenly vulnerable, as if somehow everyone would know just by looking at them. Richard could hear the waters of the Calasidran before they rounded the curve to the bridge. He was glad to see the road deserted. Chase spurred his horse to a gallop as he approached the big wooden bridge, the rest of them giving a heel to their horses to keep pace. Richard knew what Chase was doing. The boundary warden had always told him that bridges were the bane of the unwary. Richard watched in every direction as the other three galloped across in front of him. He saw nothing. In the exact center of the bridge, at a full gallop, he ran solidly into something that wasn't there. Stunned, Richard sat up, dumbfounded at finding himself on the ground and seeing his big roan running with the other horses, then stopping with them as they halted and turned. The others looked back in confusion as Richard, still dazed and bewildered, rose painfully to his feet. He brushed himself off and started limping to retrieve his horse. Before he reached the center of the bridge, he smacked into it again. It felt like walking into a stone wall, but there was nothing there. He found himself sitting on the ground again. The others were around him this time as he got to his feet. Zed was off his horse, holding its reins in one hand and helping Richard with the other.
"What's the matter?"
"I don't know," Richard managed. "It felt like I ran into a wall right in the center of the bridge. I must have just fallen off, that's all. I think I'm all right now."
Zed looked around, led him forward with a hand on his elbow. Before going far, he hit it again. But this time, he had been moving slowly and wasn't knocked from his feet, only back a few steps. He took one slow step forward and came in contact with it again. Zed gave a serious frown. Richard put his hands out, feeling the solid form of the smooth wall that wouldn't let him pass, but would let the rest of them through. The touch of it made him feel dizzy and sick. Zed walked back and forth through the invisible barrier. The wizard stood where the unseen wall stood.
"Walk back to the end of the bridge, then walk to me."
Richard felt the lump on his forehead as he walked back to the end of the bridge. Kaelin jumped off her horse next to Zed. Brophy came up beside her to see what the trouble was. This time, as he walked, Richard held his hands out in front of himself. Before he was halfway back, he made solid contact and could go no farther, having to back away from the sickening feeling at its touch. Zed rubbed his chin.
"Bags!"
The rest of them came to Richard, since he couldn't come to them. Zed led him forward again. When he made contact, he backed away a little. Zed took Richard's left hand.
"Touch it with your other hand."
Richard did as he was told until the sick feeling made him withdraw his hand. Zed seemed to feel it through Richard. By now, they were at the foot of the bridge. Every touch of the thing had made it move back the way they had come.
"Bags and double bags."
"What is it?" Richard demanded.
Zed took a glance to Kaelin and Chase before he spoke.
"It's a keeper spell."
"What's a keeper spell?"
"It's a spell drawn by that filthy artist, James. He's drawn it around you. And then, when you touched it the first time, it activated the spell. Once you touch it, it pulls tighter, like a trap. If we don't get it off you, it will shrink until you are all that's in it, and then you won't be able to move."
"Then what?"
Zed straightened.
"The touch of it is poison. When it finishes closing around you, like a cocoon, it will crush you, or the poison of it will kill you."
Kaelin grabbed the sleeve of Zed's robes, panic in her eyes.
"We have to go back. We have to get it off him."
Zed pulled his arm free.
"Well, of course we do. We'll find the drawing and erase it."
"I know where the sacred caves are,"
Kaelin offered as she grabbed hold of her saddle and put a foot in the stirrup. The wizard turned to retrieve his horse.
"We don't have any time to waste. Let's go."
"No,"
Richard said. They all turned back to stare at him.
"Richard, we have to,"
Kaelin said.
"She's right, my boy. There's no other way."
"No."
He looked at their startled faces.
"That's what they want us to do. You said the artist couldn't spell you or Kaelin, so he did it to me, thinking that would get us all back."
"The box is too important. We can't take the risk." He looked to Kaelin.
"You just tell me where these caves are, and Zed, you tell me how to erase the spell."
Kaelin grabbed the reins of her horse and Richard's, pulling them forward.
"Zed and Chase can protect the box. I'm going with you."
"No, you're not. I'm going alone. I have the sword to protect me. The box is all that matters. It is our first responsibility. We must protect it above all else. Just tell me where the caves are and how to fix the spell. When I'm finished, I'll catch up with you."
"Richard, I think..."
"No! This is about stopping Dark and Rawl, not about any one of us. This is not a request. It's an order."
They straightened, Zed turning to Kaelin.
"Tell him where the caves are."
Kaelin angrily handed the reins of her horse to Zed and snatched up a stick. She drew a map in the dirt of the road, pulling the stick along one of the lines she had drawn.
This is the Calasidrin, and here the bridge. This is the road, and here Tamarang and the castle. She drew the line of a road to the north of the city. Here, in these hills northeast of the city, there is a stream that runs between twin hills. They're about a mile south of a small bridge that crosses the stream. The twin hills have cliffs on the sides toward the stream. The sacred caves are in the cliff on the northeast side of the stream. That is where the artist draws his spells. Zed took the stick from her and broke off two finger-length pieces. He rolled one between his palms.
Here. This will erase the curse. Without seeing it, I can't tell you what part you must erase, but you should be able to figure it out. It's a drawing, and you will be able to make some sense of it. That is the whole purpose of a drawn spell. You must be able to make sense of it, or it won't work.
The stick Zed had rolled in his palms no longer felt like wood. It felt soft and tacky. Richard put it in his pocket. Zed rolled the other piece in his palms. He handed it to Richard. It, too, no longer a stick. This time it was black, almost like charcoal, but hard.
With this, the wizard said, you can draw on the spell and change it if you have to.
Change it how?
I can't tell you without seeing it. You'll have to use your own judgment. Now, hurry. But I still think we should...
No, Zed. We all know what Darkin Rahl is capable of. The box is all that is important, not any one of us. He shared a deep look with his old friend. Take care of yourself. And Kaelin. He looked up to Chase. Get them to Michael. Michael will be able to protect the box better than we can alone. And don't hold back waiting for me. I'll catch up. Richard gave him a hard stare.
If I don't want any of you coming back for me. You just... get the box away from here. Understand?
Chase gave him a serious look.
On my life.
He gave Richard brief instructions to find the Westland army up in the Rang Shada. Richard looked to Kaelin.
Take care of Sidon.
Don't worry. I'll be back with you soon enough. Now, get going. Zed mounted his horse. Kaelin handed Sidon over to the wizard. She gave Chase and Zed a nod. Go on, get started. I will catch up in a few minutes. Zed started to protest, but she cut him off and told him again to start ahead. She watched the two horses and the wolf gallop across the bridge and down the road before she turned back to Richard. Concern cut deeply into her features.
Richard, please, let me...
No.
She nodded and handed him the reins to his horse. Tears were filling her green eyes.
There are dangers in the Midlands you know nothing about. Be careful.
A tear ran down her cheek. I'll be back with you before you have time to miss me.
I'm afraid for you.
I know, but I'll be all right. She looked up at him with eyes he could lose himself in.
I shouldn't be doing this, she whispered.
Kaelin threw her arms around his neck and kissed him. Hard, fast, desperate. For a moment, as he reached his arms around her and pulled her tight against him, the touch of her lips on his, the little moan that came from her, and the feeling of her fingers through the back of his hair made him forget his own name. He was in a daze as he watched her put a boot in the stirrup and throw her other leg over the saddle. She pulled the reins, bringing her horse around close to him.
Don't you dare do anything stupid, Richard Cipher. Promise me.
I promise. He didn't tell her that he thought letting harm reach her was what he considered stupid above all else.
Don't worry. I'll be back with you just as soon as I get rid of this spell. Protect the box. Rahl must not get it. That's what matters. Now get going.
He stood, holding the reins of his horse, watching her gallop across the bridge and disappear into the distance.
I love you, Kaelin Amnell, he whispered.
With an encouraging pat to the splotch of gray on the roan's neck, Richard headed the big horse off the road after crossing the small bridge and spurred it along the bank of the stream. The horse ran with ease, splashing its hooves in the shallow water when the brush blocked the way along the bank.
sunlit hills, mostly barren of trees, rose up around the stream. As the banks became steeper, he led the horse up along the higher ground, where it could make easier progress.